Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It never gets old. It literally never gets old. I think someday I'll get tired of hearing the Star Wars theme. Amazing John Williams score, but I never have. In fact, I mentioned this a couple of months ago when we were talking about things that weren't always sports. And a friend had said to me, if you're stuck on a desert island, because, you know, desert island questions are good for a long, hard spring in a pandemic. He said to me, if you're stuck on a desert island and you can only listen to three songs for the rest of your life, which would be terrible. I think I'd prefer the silence, but what three songs would you listen to? And I said, one of them has to be the Star Wars theme. It's never gotten old. Amazing Grace was another one of them. And I don't think I ever picked number three. I'm just going to live on those two forever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's a Fins Up Friday in honor of the Miami Dolphins. It's a Flannel Friday because it's kind of chilly in my neighborhood in the mornings when I get home. I think it was 48 degrees yesterday morning when I got home. I don't mind it, though. I love this time of the year. It's the first Fall Friday. See where I'm going with all this alliteration? And it's a Football Friday. And so we're excited about week three, plus the SEC is joining the fracas in college football. And so there's a lot of matchups on your college football schedule. All of a sudden, the schedule was fruitful and multiplied. I mean, it takes more than a page on my computer. There have been some postponed. So Notre Dame at Wake Forest, that one was called off. And Houston had another game called off. But they kicked off last night, UAB, South Alabama. That one took place. And if you look down the schedule, you can see there's ACC, there's Big 12, and now there is SEC as well. In fact, number two, it's number two overall college football rankings because early on they really seemed to matter. Alabama, number two at Missouri. And that one's it's the start of the conference slate because that's what they're doing in the SEC. Army expected to get back on the field as well, taking on Cincinnati. And so there's a lot of college football if that's what floats your boat. And in addition to that, we've got a full slate of NFL games coming up on Sunday, week three. What? We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, where my microphone controls do not work. Well, my mic controls work okay, maybe, except that I can't really tell because my headphone jack is a total disaster. The studio, I'm so happy to be back here, is falling apart a piece at a time. I don't know if it's because I'm cleaning it every time I come in, but right now, if I do not hold on to my headphone jack and hold it at a certain angle, so like press it down at a certain angle in the jack, I can't hear anything. So then I wonder if my microphone's off. It's really been a bit stressful over the course of the last 3 hours, but I've managed to not mention it until now. So yay, good morning. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They're not broken. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. I had a moment earlier where I started talking and didn't hear me. And looked at Dave in major alarm thinking, what the heck is going on? But here's a little secret. Like many companies, we're running with limited personnel. We've been asking for a couple of fixes to other, we'll call them technical problems that have developed over the course of the last, would you say 3 weeks? 3 weeks, probably.
Yeah, give or take a few months.
Right, so those are not fixed yet. I don't know if there's a really long list, and maybe they're just not important. I don't know. But I kind of feel like it's relatively critical that the host can hear herself or can hear the audio that's being played. I don't know. I just know that I'm going to have a mark on my hand from how hard I'm pressing down on the headphone jack. So anyway, we'll see. It's probably not going to be fixed over the weekend. So maybe I'll just yell really loud and hope that you can hear me, because that sounds like
60% of the time it works.
Wait, what just happened?
Every time.
Are you playing something right now?
Played a drop.
I can't hear anything. All of a sudden, the jack's just not working at all.
I played the 60% of the time. Every time.
Yeah, that's a lie. It doesn't work either 60% of the time or all the time. And so I'm not kidding you. If I take my hand off of it to do anything else, I can't hear a thing. So you could be yelling at me right now. Could be calling me all kinds of names, and I would have no idea what.
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't? Not even with the microphone off?
No.
Remember, the microphone is always live.
That's true.
It's always hot. We've had many people who have not yet learned that lesson in 2020.
This is true.
Okay, I'm done meandering. Whether I can hear myself or not, as long as you can hear me, that is great. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got the poll up on Twitter. We've also got the poll up on Facebook. And boy, are you excited about football, which is awesome because so are we. And you know what? So is Ryan Fitzpatrick. This guy plays with such joy. You feel like at times maybe he should act his age. No, he shouldn't act his age. And I don't know what 37-year-olds act like anyway. But I do know this guy checks his ego at the door because he doesn't care if he's keeping the seat warm for Tua Tagovailoa, who, by the way, is not going to see the field anytime soon if Fitzpatrick is healthy. Ryan doesn't care how many teams he started for. What matters to him is that he still enjoys playing football and still has a forum to do so. And there are games where Fitzpatrick throws three interceptions instead of three touchdowns, but Thursday night was not one of them.
An empty backfield for Fitzpatrick on third and goal from the three. Looking to his left, fires, end zone, touchdown. Preston Williams with his first score of the year. Back to throw, Fitzpatrick throws it downfield, caught by Gesicki, touchdown Miami.
Mike Gesicki goes up and gets another one. Boy, tall and athletic in the end zone.
When all else fails, into the backfield and let Ryan Fitzpatrick run around, right?
Well, or quarterback draw. And there it is. Quarterback draw, touchdown Miami.
Hey, that's pretty darn good call by you guys right there. They love playing with him.
Yes, they do. Mobbing him in the end zone.
He's always got a smile on his face, and his teammates are always thrilled when he has a touchdown or makes this great pass, and his joy is contagious, and you can see that. And so even if this wasn't a game that you thought might be interesting, the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is still out there running around like a kid on Christmas morning is awesome. So he has three touchdowns, one on the ground, two through the air, and the Dolphins score on their first three drives. And then they get the benefit of a couple of Gardner Minshew turnovers in the second half that help them preserve that lead. Fitzpatrick goes 18 of 20 for 160 yards. And the Dolphins, man, they look almost unstoppable inside the red zone.
It was good. I felt like we were efficient today. We had a good game plan. We followed it. Guys made plays. And, you know, the second half, running the clock out a little bit and that stuff. But I thought our guys up front especially came to play today.
It's disappointing. It's something that we're going to be working on. And, you know, obviously that puts you in a bind. You know, like you said, you never feel like you're in a rhythm of the game. And, you know, I think we all understand that. It's not something that, you know, we're looking at and trying to defend. We just got to figure out a way to get better.
Doug Marrone, who, according to our radio.com NFL insider, Armando Salguero, who joined us from Jacksonville, so he was at the game, he said Marrone is not on a hot seat. And a lot of people said that to start the season and maybe has felt like that, you know, over the course of the last couple of years. But right now he says Marrone's job is safe. So Jacksonville, Miami have the same record at 1-2, but a couple of turnovers there in the second half. And yeah, Gardner Minshew was off a little bit and they didn't look quite as crisp as they have looked or they looked in week number two. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. If you don't follow our show Twitter, we do a lot of retweeting pictures and videos and that kind of stuff. And The Miami Dolphins put out a couple of snapshots of Ryan Fitzpatrick postgame when he was talking to NFL Network. I really can't do it justice, but I feel like his shirt is covered by purple pineapples and maybe blue mushrooms and some amoebas. There might be some amoebas on his shirt as well. It's it's maybe it's paisley. I don't know. You can check it out for yourself. But here's the deal. It's unbuttoned all the way down to probably his breastbone. Like the shirt is unbuttoned to maybe 1 inch above his lowest rib. And so there is as much hair coming out of his shirt as there is stuck to his face. And yet he is his own man. And as I say, he takes nothing for granted. He's a guy that really enjoys the competition. And when I say he has no ego, I mean, he doesn't care how he gets the job. He just takes the job. But he believes in himself enough that he thinks he can keep the job once he has it. And so, yeah, he's supposed to be bridging the gaps, was supposed to be the quarterback that was helping the Dolphins tank in 2019. Well, that didn't work so well. Thankfully, they still ended up with Tua because of where they fell in the draft. But even now, he's not going to relinquish that seat to Tua without a fight. In addition to wearing this pineapple paisley shirt, unbuttoned, low. He's also wearing Miami Dolphins sweatpants. So just the the combination is fantastic. So producer Dave tweeted it or retweeted it from our show account, After Hours CBS. And we've also got our poll there, so you can check that out. And then he's got Adidas. I think they're Adidas. Maybe they're Reeboks. I don't know. I think they're Adidas. I could be totally wrong. I may have just like completely burned his connection with his sneakers. But yeah, he's classic. I mean, it's not quite Russell Westbrook or Cam Newton, but it's pretty darn close. So yeah, he was asked, this is kind of funny too. He flashes gigantic grin when he was asked about the Dolphins making the playoffs during that NFL Network interview.
We know we added a lot of talent. We know we've got a great locker room, guys that are working hard and working together. So I think anything's possible, but obviously we've got to string some more wins together.
Anything is definitely possible. It's only week number 3. Everything is possible. So yeah, we're going to see some more of those storylines kind of develop during week number 3. We're going to see more of the patterns and teams finding more consistency. That's always the goal for the first month, and certainly right now when you think about no preseason. If you missed that conversation with Armando, he's so good. And not only was at the game on Thursday night, but also we talked about week 3 and talked about the success of the NFL to this point. You may have heard, but last week, the roughly 2,000 players were tested every single day. So 7 days a week, which adds up to more than 14,000 tests. Not one positive among the players, not one positive COVID test. And I'm going to keep saying it because they deserve so much credit. These guys are going home to either their own apartments, maybe roommates, maybe families. They're still taking care of their business and doing everything that needs to be done. And their families deserve credit, too, for making sure they protect the livelihood of their favorite NFL player. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Some other big news from the world of football. If you're just waking up on this Friday morning, the Pac-12 will return for a 7-game slate. They will be all conference games, and it will start November 6th. And according to the conference officials, this was really the earliest that they could make this decision and get back on the field. Here's Dennis Dodd on CBS Sports HQ.
It really had to do with local health restrictions in California and Oregon. You can't discount the fires either. While some teams in California weren't even able to practice, the fires in Oregon and Washington kept teams from practicing as well. And in addition, a couple of weeks ago, the Pac-12 became the first conference to go to daily rapid care testing with a quick turnaround. But they were kind of beaten to the punch on that by the Big Ten, but weren't able to do anything until the medical condition cleared up. So they finally got clearance from LA County and Santa Clara County, up where Cal and Stanford are, and they're ready to go. I mean, as early as this week, only 12 players could congregate at some of these schools in California. You can't have a practice like that. That's cleared up. They're ready to go. 7 games. Here we go.
So Big Ten will resume October 24th, mom's birthday. Pac-12 will come back on November 6th, so 2 weeks later. And if you believe Commissioner Larry Scott, he says, we told you we'd follow the science, we'd follow the data, we'd follow the advice from our medical experts. Yes, the rapid testing, that certainly is a major piece of this. Maybe they found more research over the past couple of weeks. I tend to believe that you can find whatever research you need to support whatever decision that you make. It really is. There are still a lot of unknowns about the virus. Obviously, we know ways to prevent the spread, but it's not a perfect science. And football is risky because it's a contact sport to the hilt. And yet, I think the confidence the Pac-12 can take is looking around at the fact that college football has continued largely unimpeded. Yes, there have been some postponements, and there likely will be. It's taken every sport time to figure it out. So you remember Major League Soccer returned. They actually kicked two teams out of their bubble because they were worried about outbreaks. Major League Baseball, the Marlins and the Cardinals, and then even the Indians, who didn't have an outbreak but had two dopey decisions made by two pitchers, and that turned out to be kind of another cautionary tale. The NFL is really the only league that hasn't had any missteps. And then I guess you could look at the NBA and the NHL once they got in the bubble. So they all had different COVID tests and quarantine situations that were required before they got into their bubbles. But once they've gotten into their bubbles, they've also been perfect, immaculate. And baseball is, of course, looking for a bubble situation, for the second half of their postseason. And, it's good. It's just good to see that the patterns, the precedents are out there now. The protocols are out there. And Pac-12, Mountain West, they can now follow suit with a lot of the rest of the conferences in college football. And it's not just football, too. I mean, the Pac-12 had originally suspended all of its sports through the end of the year, but now has done a reversal on men's and women's basketball, too, which is its high-profile sport. Even more so than football is Pac-12 men's and women's basketball. And that will start Thanksgiving week. And then some of the other sports, it's really respective to the various universities. So Utah is actually not having its other fall sports until the spring season, but teams are at least allowed, schools are allowed to consider reinstituting the other fall and winter sports too, which is great for these athletes. A handful of whom requested transfers, but not most of them. I mean, a lot of them were kind of dealing with a disappointment and prepared to ride it out. And maybe a lot of them were close to graduation and it wasn't worth it to pick up their whole lives and start over. And so I'm thrilled for the kids, the young men and women who will be able to incorporate this back into their seasons, into their athletic experience, their academic experience, even if it's not quite the same as what they've known in the past. All right, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, check out Classic Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then also on our Facebook page, good to have you on a flannel Friday, a football Friday, a free-for-all Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
AD turns, leans, shoots, 15-footer no good, rebound a foul. And Anthony Davis is hurt bad. He's writhing on the ground in pain, and he's holding his right ankle.
Yeah, ooh, I hope he could get up and walk this off, but you're right, he's in a lot of pain.
It's his left ankle, and it does not look good.
I don't even like seeing that.
Yeah,
came down on Paul Millsap's foot.
And now this game becomes critically important as AD limps off. He is under his own power, but he's taking his shoe off. Rondo down the middle. Alley-oop to AD for a dunk. Beautiful assist for Rajon Rondo.
And AD's limping when he runs down the floor. You can tell he's sore.
He's staying out there, though. 32 in the game for Davis. And, boy, Michael, this game becomes very important for the Lakers now, especially if AD can't go on Saturday.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I was a little concerned about John Ireland more than I was concerned about Anthony Davis when Davis rolled his ankle. And as it turned out, he stayed out there on the court for a good portion of that fourth quarter that was still left. And it's a pretty tight game. Despite his line, he did a lot of damage early on. 34 points helped them get off to a hot start. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. And yes, 1 rolled ankle, as you hear with not just John Ireland, but Michael Thompson. He does expect to be fine for game number 5, according to AD himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sure, you can slap me with the line, oh, this is exactly where the Nuggets want the Lakers, but it's still playing with fire. There's a reason why no team had ever come back from a 3-1 deficit before the Nuggets did it. Jazz, Clippers, back-to-back. I'm assuming this is not where they want to be. And so they now find themselves in another 3-1 hole. And a couple of factors to this victory for the Lakers last night. Number one, the rebounding for the Nuggets was lacking. Part of that is that Nikola Jokic was in foul trouble. And also Dwight Howard started for the Lakers. Interesting, right? They changed their lineup. They kind of tweaked it a little bit. They wanted to go bigger in that starting lineup. And so they had Dwight Howard out there. And he had a double-double. So good for Dwight. Talk about a throwback. And then also Jokic ends up getting in foul trouble because he's matched up with Dwight. And so that worked to the advantage of the Lakers. And then when Jokic is out, and just in general, when the Lakers are playing bigger, you know, they attacked the glass and the Nuggets did not. So get this, in an 6 point spread, the final score was 114-108, 25 second chance points for the Lakers. My mother is a math genius. Don't even need to be a math genius to tell you that that is the reason why the Lakers ended up winning this game and did have a double figure lead. We know Jamal Murray is good for some big buckets here or there, but really the inability to collect the rebounds and to push the Lakers back to the other end of the court, and that was a major issue.
It was just too many breakdowns. This is the Western Conference Finals, game 4. And if you can't help us on the defensive end, then maybe you shouldn't be on the floor. We got to be able to lock in and finish it off with a rebound. And we just had too many empty possessions on that end tonight.
Something else that stood out from this game. Now, it shouldn't be a surprise if you know LeBron James. He can guard any position on the court. And he has always wanted to be a point guard his entire career. In fact, he does do a lot of the handling of the point from his position. But he asked to guard Jamal Murray in the second half of this game.
LeBron asked for the assignment, and obviously I granted it. And, you know, he did a great job down the stretch, you know, trying to contain him one-on-one. Murray had a great night, and, you know, nothing was really working in terms of trying to slow him down until LeBron took that assignment. So game ball to him, I guess, for that move.
I guess, he says. We'll give him the game ball, I guess, for that move. Frank Vogel and Mike Malone, the two head coaches in this series. Murray had 32 points, but no threes, which is what we've seen from him so often in big situations, clutch situations. And so to have LeBron James, even if you feel like you can get around him, LeBron is a big dude, and he's physical, and he will force you to work hard. And so that kind of wears you out then for the other end of the court. So it's a lot to put on the shoulders of Jamal Murray. He has been up for the challenge. But as I was watching the game, I was thinking, oh, yet again, it doesn't really matter which Kentucky player John Calipari is rooting for, and I'm sure he wants them all to do well. But if it's not one, it's another, and Anthony Davis with a big game last night. Now, coming up in the NBA schedule, of course, they're going alternating nights now for East and West. So it actually could be the Miami Heat who punch their ticket to the NBA Finals first. They would have to dispatch the Celtics. This is a home game for the Boston Celtics. So at least they will have their own PA and their own music, and the court will be theirs. But we know that this is part of the challenge now. You know, it worked to the advantage of the Nuggets in coming back from a couple of 3-1 deficits. But it also works to the advantage of the Heat in this situation because they're not dealing with a raucous crowd at TD Garden in Massachusetts. So it's the Celtics and it's the Heat, and that's game number 5. And so we'll see if the Heat punch their ticket to the finals. It's nuts, though, right? I mean, this is nuts to me that, oh, and also tonight, so this kind of fits right into what I'm talking about, it's game four of the Stanley Cup final. Do you remember when these teams were going through the intake testing in their various bubbles, their hubs? So Edmonton, Toronto, Orlando, it's July. They're trying to get back into some type of conditioning, some type of shape. We're making fun of Lou. Don't be like Lou Williams. It's just a cautionary tale for the NBA. And we're thinking, oh, seeding games, really? And then the playoffs. But the quality of what we've seen on both the ice and the court has been, I think, pretty, for me anyway, exceeding expectations, but pretty close to what you could ask for, minus the fans in their own arenas. The basketball and the hockey, the quality has been really good. And now here we are. I just can't believe we've gone through 2 months like that. I mean, they started up in late July and it was novelty and this is crazy and oh my goodness, hoops and hockey are back and here comes baseball. And now we're into what essentially about to be the final round in these next couple of days for both. In fact, hockey could be over before the NBA Finals even start. So we'll see how those work out. But yeah, just it's 2 months gone in the blink of an eye. And I know it's only week three, but I can't believe it's week three of the NFL season either. So I retweeted our poll. Let us know what game you're most geeked up about. It's okay to be a geek over football. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. We got just a few minutes left before we hit our weekend. I'm wearing flannel. Oh, and as I was going through the F alliterations, right? So we said free for all Friday, football Friday, flannel Friday, because I'm wearing flannel. Actually, it's in the colors of Ryan Fitzpatrick's shirt, but I'm wearing it in a different way. And then I said to producer Dave during the break, Friday foul, as in F-O-W-L, not the fouls that Mike Malone was complaining about after the game last night, because I am going to have rotisserie chicken for breakfast. It's my new revelation. Rotisserie chicken. It's like Amazon Prime. When I got Amazon Prime for myself, I used to use my mom's. I got it and I started using it. I thought, how did I ever live my life without Amazon Prime? I truly don't know the answer to that question now. Rotisserie chicken, how did I ever live my life without you before I discovered you? I mean, there's the revelation of this first week of fall. Dave's in the control room nodding at me. You're jealous because you want eggs and chicken for your breakfast.
I want chicken right now. Let's go.
It's at my house. I got to go home and carve some more chicken. Practicing for Thanksgiving. So it's Friday Foul for Amy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And a 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss to finish the ball game. And for the first time in 4 years, the Toronto Blue Jays are going back to the postseason. The Blue Jays are stepping out onto the field of play. High fives, handshakes, hugs by the coaching staff as they start to celebrate. The Blue Jays went into 2020 with a let's see what can happen to let's make it happen mentality. They have done it. They have clinched a berth into the postseason.
We pictured bringing a winning, attitude and mindset to Toronto and to the big league level. And, I think what's going to make it special is doing this consistently and doing this for years to come.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There's a lot to be excited about in Buffalo on this Friday morning. And this is one of my favorite little snippets. Maybe we'll forget, or maybe most people will forget 5 years down the road, that Buffalo became a major league city for the 60 games of 2020. Not even 60 games, right? The home games for the Toronto Blue Jays. But it was their home in 2020. And Buffalo was hosting this game on Thursday night in which the Blue Jays clinched a playoff spot. And now there's just one left in the American League, in case you're keeping score at home. The Astros are the only other team above 500 in the American League that hasn't already clinched a playoff spot. And so they are the front runner. Not any real close races, but they still haven't clinched. So that's the one big piece that's left in the American League. And of course, then division titles up for grabs as well. in both the AL and the NL. In fact, in the National League, still four playoff spots to be determined over the weekend. And one of those games that really, or one of those series that matters, is Brewers and Cardinals. So the NL Central, they've got a bunch of teams obviously still in the running. And congratulations to Yadier Molina for his 2,000th hit. He did it at Busch Stadium. There weren't any fans there, but his team gave him an extended celebration. And after nearly two decades in the league, and he's 37 years old, in fact, it's kind of a fun tie because he and Ryan Fitzpatrick are the same age. I mean, it takes a long time to not only accumulate these types of numbers, but to be relevant when you've got so many other young guys with their speed, their bodies that bounce back from injuries, you know, their force and their power. And yet here is Yadier Molina, who not only is I mean, he's really a staple for St. Louis, and he's one of the most beloved baseball players that they've had there, but also a guy who has continued to hang on to his position despite the challenges of young people. And so 2,000 hits is an incredible milestone, and with or without fans, it was nice that he got to mark that before the season was over.
Amazing. I mean, it's just great honor, a lot of effort, a lot of years to get at that point, at this point. It's just great. I mean, the most important thing, we got the win, obviously. But that moment was good. Good for me, good for my family. I think they enjoy it right now.
Yeah, I think probably they did. I mean, the Molinas have left a big impression, a big mark on Major League Baseball over the years. So two singles for him, his 2,000th hit, and the Cardinals are closing in on a playoff spot, but a lot of battling still to go over this final weekend. And before that, Kevin Biggio and the Blue Jays clinching one of the last two spots in the American League. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can't believe the baseball postseason starts on Tuesday, but there it is. A friend invited me to go out with her in a group on Tuesday evening, and I said, I mean, that's really sweet of you and all, but that's the first day of the baseball postseason, so can I get back to you? Meaning that's not likely to happen. 855-212, but it's nice of her to ask. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico saves you when you switch. So visit geico.com to learn more. I actually just put my new Geico insurance card into my wallet over the past week. I switched to Geico and also have saved 15% on multiple plans. So it is true. It actually does happen. 855-212-4CBS. We're talking about Buffalo and the Blue Jays clinching a playoff spot there and making use of this weird quirk in baseball history. Well, the Bills will be home for a massive game against the 2-0 Rams. And I say it's massive, not just because both those teams are undefeated, but because the Bills need to continue to stare down these tests. Whether or not you believe the Rams are a great team or should be a contender, they come from the NFC West. They're battle-tested, if nothing else. And they've been to a Super Bowl in this Sean McVay, Jared Goff era. And so it's a good hurdle for the Bills. If they can get over it, you're talking about one step closer to changing the balance of power in the AFC East. It's not going to happen in week 3. It's probably not going to happen in week 10. It's still the Patriots division to lose, and I don't think they're going to be conceding anytime soon. Ha-ha. But for the Bills, they've made the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years, right? And they're building something, and Josh Allen is a part of it. The other pieces they brought in offensively, love what Sean McDermott has done. He really gave lip service to quality guys who would buy in, who could be pieces for the future. And so they cleaned out a lot of pieces, and they brought in different guys. And, I mean, right now, it's still early, right now they look great, and they're catching a lot of eyes around the NFL. But you got to go through tests like this against the Rams. So Josh Allen's numbers, pretty impressive. 727 yards passing already, and that's 417 in week 2. 6 touchdowns for Josh Allen through the air. And Jared Goff, I mean, he's no slouch. He's about 550 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and an interception. And so this is, I think, is a big early season hurdle, about as big as you can get unless you are the Ravens and the Chiefs, which is taking place on Monday Night Football. A lot of you are pointing to the Seahawks-Cowboys game. Let's be honest, Cowboys fans, like it or not, the truth sometimes hurts, but the Cowboys could very easily be 0-2. The Seahawks, they've had some just dazzling performances from their offense. DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson and Chris Carson and Tyler Lockett, and you could go on and on. Obviously, there's a lot of buzz around Wilson already as an MVP candidate. What did I just say? No one's winning the AFC East in week three. No one is freaking claiming the MVP award in week three either. But he does look great. But here's the issue for both the Seahawks and the Cowboys. They've given up a lot of yards. They've won, which is the most important thing, but they've given up a lot of yards. And for the Seahawks, they will not have Bruce Irvin, of course, moving forward. He's torn his ACL and is out for the rest of the year. And now defensive end Rasheem Green is still waiting for clearance from a neck stinger, and he's the guy that would be really important with the loss of Bruce Irvin. So that's one injury, one position to keep your eyes on. And for the Dallas Cowboys, they're missing a lot of pieces too. So the defensive side of the ball, I think, could be the story, could be the difference in this game. Brandon Carr could see action at cornerback for the Cowboys, even though he's primarily been a safety since he signed with the team. But they're missing guys at the corner positions. And, of course, they will be without Leighton Vander Esch for a while. And so there's just a lot of moving parts now. For this game and for all games, we're still not sure about the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo, though he didn't practice on Thursday. So a lot of people are pointing that as, you know, kind of a sign that he's not going to start this weekend against the Giants. It was Jets last week. And obviously they're already missing other pieces too. I mean, every team, it feels like, has lost at least one big name, one key piece. But we knew going into 2020 that depth would be of such an utmost importance. Now, a lot of people thought it would be depth with the practice squads and the contingencies because of COVID. That has not turned into an issue. It has not materialized, but injuries have. And maybe some of these injuries we would have seen in the preseason anyway. I mean, it's hard to know. Is this because there was no preseason, because training camp was so short, because the offseason conditioning was almost non-existent, or is it because these would have been injuries suffered before they got to the actual season? Because we always see a rash of injuries in those exhibition games as well. There's no easy answer to it. But certainly, I hope that doesn't happen in week number three, because it does take away from the game to not have a Nick Bosa out there. And I mean, Von Miller for the Broncos going back even to the preseason, and to lose quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, even if they're not the upper echelon, still it throws the offense into flux. So we've got our poll up, and as we expected, the Ravens and Chiefs on Monday Night Football, that's getting the majority of the vote, which is great. In fact, I thought it might get about 90% of the vote. It's not that much of a landslide. But if we're taking that game off the table, Producer Dave, just because everyone gets to watch that game, it's a nationally televised game, I'm just going to plead with ESPN to turn down the fake crowd noise, please. But we're all going to watch that game. So what other game? And are you going to tell me the Jets? Because I'm going to have to... Bleh.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. No, I'm actually intrigued for the Sunday night game. So you can look at the Monday night game as the young quarterbacks who, you know, you talk about, will they have a duel for the rest of their careers. I'm still interested in what Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees have left. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is playing really well. Questions are starting to arise about Drew Brees. But
wait, do you have questions about Drew Brees?
No.
The man did not forget how to play quarterback in 2 weeks.
I think he's going to be just fine. But yes. I know that you know, even Armando Salguero, who was on the show, he said that maybe Father Time is catching up with Drew Brees.
Or maybe he needs Mike Thomas out there on the field.
That would definitely help. The entire offense, of course, the landscape for the Saints is different when Mike Thomas is on the field. But I'm intrigued in that matchup. It's Sunday night. It's also a primetime game. And it's weird to watch the Saints play at home in front of no fans. And I know Drew Brees has talked about that, but just really interested in that environment and getting a closer look at Aaron Rodgers versus Drew Brees while we still have it.
When it comes to a couple of those other teams in the NFC South, he mentioned Michael Thomas. So right now we don't know if he's going to play. He did not practice on Wednesday, I think, was the last I saw the injury report. But the Buccaneers are taking on Denver, and they don't have their starting quarterback. However, for the Bucks, it's good to know Chris Godwin is out of concussion protocol, so he's good. And Mike Evans is no longer on the injury report with his hamstring. So that's great news, not just for Tom Brady, but for those guys. The high ankle sprain. So the high ankle sprain is what is hampering Thomas. Can't guard Mike is his Twitter handle. I love that. But we've got high ankle sprains for Garoppolo. So we're not sure about him, but he looks iffy. And then, of course, for Christian McCaffrey. And no, it's not about your fantasy team. But we talked about this earlier in the week. Probably. I mean, I have no way of knowing this for sure. I guess I have to do some research. But I bet he was the number one overall pick in, he was in my league, but probably the number one overall pick in, what would you say, 85%? Is that too high?
I mean, I don't know who else you would have taken. I mean, there's different types of leagues, you know.
Ezekiel Elliott?
But in the...
Lamar Jackson?
You're just not taking a quarterback with the first overall pick as
probably
good
not.
As Lamar and Patrick Mahomes can be. So in a points per reception league, there's no way he is not the first pick.
Do you know how many points I scored? So I've never done a PPR league before, but I'm in one now. And Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network asked me at the last second and didn't send me the invite until about 2 hours before the draft. But anyway, I'm having fun because my team scored 170 points last week. I was like, I didn't even know that was possible in fantasy. It was fantastic.
But it's nice when you get that extra point every time someone catches the ball, even if they go for 0 yards.
Yeah, it was awesome. The take in this league is huge, too. So I refuse to think about it. It's like Cam Newton thinking about his contract. I refuse to think about it because it's going to take care of itself. But who should I start? I'm not feeling good about either one of these. Drew Brees or Deshaun Watson. So the Houston Texans are home, but they're playing the Steelers, right? And the Steelers defense is, I mean, it's been really good. It's physical. And Watson and the Texans offenses look brutal, but Drew Brees, as you point out, hasn't looked great and might not have Mike Thomas. So,
if Mike Thomas is playing, go with Drew Brees. If not, I think you go with Deshaun Watson.
Really?
His athleticism. On the road against the Steelers is not a great matchup. But Drew Brees without Mike Thomas, he can still put up numbers. But I don't love it.
No, I don't love either one of them. Did I actually accidentally say the Houston Texans were home? I didn't mean that. You're right there at Heinz Field. So, yeah, there's a lot of juicy storylines that have nothing to do with my fantasy team. So, you know, it just makes the drama that juicier. Like we talked about with Gus Frerotte, who built his fantasy team around Lamar Jackson, of course. Anyway, find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Hope you have a great weekend, whether it's football, whether it's family, whether it's fun, whether it's foul, like F-O-W-L. We'll talk to you Sunday night after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.